Is this on? Is it recording?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You just have to kind of think about somebody listening to this. So I want to talk about Zazen. I thought starting off the new year, it's a good time to refresh and to, I guess, rededicate ourselves. I felt like I did. I just sat in December, the beginning of December, I actually sat for 3 whole days at the Berkeley Zen Center. And they generously gave me no jobs at all. I wasn't even like the leader of the chanting or anything. I mean, nothing. And I found a way sitting on this bench to face a wall. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. So I commend it to you. And I felt like that refreshed my intention, that experience of just sitting. And at Berkeley, the way it's usually set up, people that are sitting in chairs, which this bench is the equivalent of a chair, people sitting in chairs sit facing out, basically, and they're not facing a wall. But I found a wall. So that was doubly nice because it's distracting to face out. And I find myself closing my eyes, and then I find myself dozing sometimes. So I like that sense of renewed interest, maybe, or renewed impulse towards Zazen. And this is a time of year to open to that. I mean, I don't think it's something that you can say, I'm going to sit more, or I'm going to sit up straighter, or I'm going to keep my eyes open, or whatever. You can say those things, but for it to work, it has to come from somewhere else. It has to come from your gut somehow. It has to come from the level of vow, maybe. Not maybe. It has to come from a level of vow. It has to come from someplace other than this one, she says, knocking her head with her teaching stick. And paying attention to your body can help with that rededication, I think. I was just complaining at breakfast about being indecisive, and I realized I just did it twice. One time I caught it, and I said, no, I don't. Maybe it's vow. It is vow. And I just did from their body, I think. I do. I know this. You can believe it or not or do what you want, but I do. I believe this, and I do feel like I know it. So I'm going to try to stop doing that. I'm trying to do 2 things at once, to encourage you and to nudge you, I suppose. I just did it again. And to nudge you. And at the same time, I want you to feel empowered, which is why I'm sort of hedging it a little bit. I want you to feel empowered to take charge of your own practice and your own Zazen. I can nudge you and encourage you and instruct you and do all these things. But ultimately, it's your practice, and you're the only one that knows. I mean, nobody. You're the only one that knows if your eyes are open. I don't go around. You can tell, by the way, if you're walking around, but it's hard. because you have to kind of see, you can see from looking at people sideways, you can tell if their eyes are open or not. But I don't do that. I don't inspect people, and I certainly don't know what's going on inside your head every period. Sometimes I do. But mostly when we talk about it. So you are in charge of your own practice, and you're the only one that can get yourself here. We don't have a service that goes out and takes you by the ear and gets you out of bed. So brush your teeth and get dressed, let's go. We don't do that. They sort of do that in the monastery, but not here. They come knocking on your door if you didn't show up and you didn't leave a note. Or at least they used to. But it's all in support of encouraging you. So, Zazen. What is it? I don't know. I can talk about it forever, and ultimately, we don't know what it is. Just do it and see what happens. When I do Zazen instruction, I tell people to sit up straight. I may say, as if there's a string at the top at the back of the top of your head is pulling you up, that the top of your body lifts, and honor the curve in your lower back, and honor the curve at the back of your neck. And there was this, it's a relaxed posture, because in doing that you're letting the bones carry the weight. And that's why I emphasize it, because if you're sitting for more than 10 or 15 minutes, it's much more comfortable if you're honoring those curves so that your bones stack up naturally. Right? Somewhere in the community room, there's a little keychain with a back on it. It's probably from a chiropractor's office or something. It's got a spine, and it's got the correct alignment. We probably ought to put it over in Z2 so you could... It's a little attention-getting thing. It's probably in that drawer with all the pushpins and stuff. At any rate, it's really important to honor those curves in your spine at the same time you're sitting up straight, and pushing up with your breastbone, not out. You know, it is supposed to be a relaxed posture. So if I came and I moved your elbow, your arm would move, but it wouldn't be like it was so rigid that your whole body would move. Do you understand what I'm saying? That need to relax. But you also need to be making that effort, and when you make it, it becomes a habit, and then you find out how much more comfortable it is. I really learned that when I sat in a regular chair when I sprained my ankle at Tassajara at our monastery, during practice period. And I found that when I slumped a little bit, pretty soon my back started really aching. And there's a particular place, I'm sure it's something with a disc or something, that starts to hurt. And I found if I really, really, really paid attention to sitting up straight in a way that actually felt... trying to think of a better word than weird. It's sort of uncomfortable, and like I was willing myself. I was willing myself into it, and I found that after a little while, the pain went away, and I found that as I kept doing that intentionally, it became a habit, and it got much more comfortable sitting in a chair. Cross-legged is the most comfortable, by the way, but on the floor, anything on the floor is more comfortable than a chair. But at any rate, it became much better, and I really felt like I learned in my bones that sitting up straight and honoring those curves made a big difference in my comfort level and also in my openness. You know, because if you're slumped, you're kind of pushing back, really, with your gut. You know, you're pushing your back. Your back, instead of your back going this way, your back is going that way. And that means your front is going like this, making a C curve. And that scrunches all your organs and so on. And it feels very different. So honoring the curve and sitting up really straight and pushing up with your breastbone. And I sometimes say, you know, it's not like the Marines, you know, but just up. And sometimes, because there's a feeling of openness in your belly and there's a feeling of being a little exposed with your belly, it can be a little scary. And that's the time to breathe into that. It's not the time to slump, but to notice maybe the impulse to just a little bit. You know, especially if there is fear arising, that openness, we often talk about it as vulnerability. I feel vulnerable, which implies I'm scared of something. You know, I feel vulnerable to something. But if I'm just open, it's not about being vulnerable, it's just open. But just open can be kind of scary. So being aware of that part of your body, there's a chakra, there's something called the hara and so on, but I don't want to get into that kind of stuff. And your mudra, your hand position, your right hand on the bottom and your left hand on top, just your fingers overlapping and your thumb tips just barely touching. And I see I need to cut my fingernails. But at any rate, and then you take it and you tuck it against your belly. And then you relax out from there. You don't hold it there, but just tuck it against your belly. And your thumb tips ought to be opposite about the top of your navel. And that's different for different people, different bodies. And then just let your arms hang. Relax your shoulders. And it should be, if it's uncomfortable, it's probably more about what you're doing with your arms and your back than it is about holding it in place. So notice, have it be, you want your little fingers against your belly, and you want it to be big and open, not half-assed. No half-assed mudras. And every so often, I mean, all of this, every so often during a period of zazen, you need to scan your body and give yourself a little zazen instruction. And notice, you know, did your hands collapse and your fingers come apart? Or did it just sort of collapse? Or is it sitting in your lap and it's pulling on your back? Which is another long-term serious discomfort. And we say, you know, in terms of your arms, you don't want them out again. It's not like being in the military or something. But to have your elbows out a little bit from your body, you know, notice if you're being self-protective. Notice. Sometimes we say, as if you had a hard-boiled egg under each arm, that about like that. Just that distance. Don't try to hold it. And your head. Oh wait, I want to start. Go back to the base first. Your legs, however they are, if you're sitting in any kind of cross-legged position, alternate which foot is in front or up. And it'll feel really weird on one side, but it will become much more comfortable. And it's really important to stretch out evenly. And if you've ever been to a yoga class, it's extremely unusual to do a stretch just on one side. So alternate. And it may be that one foot will go up like the way Steve has it, and both knees come down fine. And then the other, if you switch it, your knee won't come down enough. And then you put a support cushion underneath that knee, or as often. So you want a real connection. It's three-pointed, we say, your butt and your knees on the ground. And so if it doesn't quite reach, that's fine. Just put something under it to support it. It's good to, if it's just kind of hard for you to sit cross-legged, try doing it and then move. I mean, just have a bench handy. If you can't do it, don't do it. I cannot do it. I don't try to do it. But if you can, it's good to stretch into the position. Or if you can think about sitting, that's called, I guess it's quarter lotus. It's sort of half lotus, quarter lotus. And now it's...
This side is harder.
Yeah.
Well, this would be...
That's half lotus.
That would be the half lotus.
Right. So, just push it a little bit. And then if you can't sit a whole period like that, that's fine. Just move quietly. With a Zazen mind. And if you need to move, or if you need to actually get up and go sit in a chair or something, see if you can do it quietly. Without all the extra, without the self-criticism, like, oh, I'll never do this. Oh, I can't. This is so stupid. This is really hard. Oh, they're all thinking I'm a failure. I am a failure. Oh. Just get up, go sit down, and go back. And go back to your breath. Don't ever leave your breath. Sit up. Get up with your breath, walk with your breath, sit down with your breath, no change. That's easy to say, and it's really hard to do. A lot of you heard this, but when I was at Tassajara, and I guess I had sprained my ankle or something. Anyway, I could not sit for a whole hour. There's times when you sit for an hour with a little 5-minute interval to stand up or to shift position or something. And in the olden days, I could always sit straight through that hour. And then there was some problem where I really couldn't. And I worked a whole, I think a practice period is 3 months long. It took me maybe 2 months or something. I don't know how long, but a long time to be able to, when that little interval bell rang, to just turn around and stand up and not lose sight of my breath and not start in about shame and all this stuff. And I finally got to the point where I could just turn around and stand up and then sit down, turn around again when the 5 minutes was over. And then the practice period ended, and a whole bunch of new people came that were going to help with setting up for the summer retreat, whatever. And so there were all these new people that came, and it was the same thing of an hour with a 5-minute interval, and the little bell rang for the interval, and I didn't move. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, you have to get up. And I just couldn't do it. I just could not do it because I was embarrassed in front of all these new people. What will they think of me? And it was just ridiculous. And I sat there and I kind of laughed for the whole time inside, and of course, during that second half, it hurt. And I don't know, it took me a couple days to be able to stand up. And it took me longer than that to be able to stand up without all the commentary. So I say to you, I know it's hard. And when you're new, you have a whole different set of shoulds and oh my gods and shame and all that crap. So you just notice it. just like in Zazen, you just notice it. You notice what it feels like in your body. Notice what it feels like in your gut. Notice what it feels like in your jaw, whatever, when you beat up on yourself. Or when you're torturing yourself. Oh my God, I can't move because what'll they think of me? And maybe you're sitting on a nerve. Don't torture yourself. In the beginning, you should err on the side of moving until you really learn your body. And you know the difference between injuring yourself pain, like sitting on a nerve and getting sciatica, or just stretching out pain, or resistance pain. And those last two, you should probably sit still. But when you're starting, don't just sit still, because you don't really know. And down the road, you know better. And again, if you did, you know, maybe you just sat wrong, or maybe it's raining and your arthritis is acting up. Who knows? You know, but if you feel like you're hurting yourself, move. And I definitely mean and, sitting still is fundamentally important. Because it's not easy doing Zazen, and things come up during Zazen that you might not even be aware of, you know, consciously, but something is troubling you. And you need to sit still for it. So that it can either maybe surface or maybe just work itself out without your head involved at all. And it is fundamentally important to sit still. But it is not the place to start, and it's not the thing to do if you're actually hurting yourself. So you're the only one. Back to you, it's your practice. You're the only one who knows. So in the beginning, it's more important to err on the side of moving. Because if you were near a great enlightenment, it'll come back. I can't remember what we decided. Am I supposed to stop at 11 or 11:05? I can't remember.
I think it was 11.
I think, yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll.
We're being indecisive.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll say 11. So now I'm going to stop, and then we're going to go over the other side, I think. These are numberless. I've asked.